Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
The Oxford school shooting was over 2 years ago, but the wheels of justice are slow, so the trial of one of Ethan Crumbly's parents has just begun.
Jennifer Crumbly, the mother, is planning to defend the charges in part by saying that it was the father, James Crumbly, that actually bought the gun.
So will Jennifer Crumbly spend decades behind bars for murders committed by her son? This is The Daily J. I'm Zach Clark. November 30th of 2021, it seems forever ago, but for the victims and families of the Oxford school shooting, that date never got to the rearview mirror. Last year, Ethan Crumbly, who was 15 at the time, confessed to all charges. As a result, he'll spend the rest of his life in prison. His parents, James and Jennifer Crumbly, they have been in jail since days after the murders. They were also charged in the massacre. In fact, they are the first parents in the country to be charged in connection with a mass shooting at a school carried out by a child.
This is the first of two trials. They decided not to try the parents together, but it is the parents of the Oxford High School shooter facing four counts of involuntary manslaughter. Now, Jennifer Crumbly, the mother, is planning to defend the charges in part by saying that it was the father, James Crumbly, that actually bought the gun for then 15-year-old Ethan Crumbly, who we all know shot and killed four students. Now, Ethan is doing life in prison. However, he is appealing the life in prison sentence, not the plea, but the sentence. And his new attorneys don't want him to testify in the trial of the parents. Not sure if he is going to testify, but they don't want him. Again, the judge will have to deal with that if Ethan Crumbly, the shooter, is a witness.
That, of course, is WWJ legal analyst Charlie Langton. The Crumbly parents are accused of not doing enough to stop Ethan from the killings. The main sticking point is that they ignored many signs of mental health struggles, and they bought him the gun that was used in the crime. The next voice you'll hear will take you back to that day in November of 2021. Here is Andrew Smith, Jennifer Crumbly's boss at the real estate firm where she worked at the time.
Can you read that text that came in at 1:23 p.m.?
Correct. The gun is gone and so are the bullets.
When did the first phone call come?
1:25 and 30.
And then what did you do?
When I received this text, I was, I believe, in a hearing on a Zoom meeting, and I stepped away because I was concerned by what I had just received and learned, and walked down to our HR director's office. In her office, I received the phone call.
And did you have the phone on speaker, or did you just take the call in her office?
I took the call and put it on speaker.
Okay, and what did Jennifer say?
I recall her saying she was trying to get to her child's school. She sounded frantic. You could hear ambulance or sirens in the background. And that their gun was missing, or their gun was missing.
What did you say, if anything?
We need to call the police.
And what did she say?
She said that my husband is at home and we call the police.
At Ethan's sentencing late last year, he was given the chance to speak, and in that time, he seemingly absolved his parents of any wrongdoing, at least in his eyes.
You're all here because of me, what I did. My actions were because of what I chose to do. I could not stop myself, but I am the one who led to why we are here today. I do not diminish any ability to anyone who could have stopped me, of anyone of a school or parents. They did not know, and I did not tell them what I planned to do, so they are not at fault what I've done. I am a really bad person. I have done terrible things that no one should ever do. I've hurt many people. 15, 20, 25 years can show that it will change. Because it may not show it now with only 2 years of records, but I am trying. All I want is for the people I hurt to just have a final sense of culpability that justice has somewhat been served in any fit capacity that they can recognize it with.
There has been a lot of fighting over whether or not Ethan should testify at his parents' trial. Jennifer Crumbly wants him to be compelled to do so. His lawyers don't want that to happen. So, should it?
I think Ethan is a time bomb, to be honest with you. And, you know, in trials, we don't like to be so edgy. However, if the defense knows something that we don't, maybe the defense did talk to Ethan and Ethan's going to give some testimony that's going to be favorable. Yeah, he absolutely should testify. I mean, and maybe he'll fall on the sword and say, listen, I shot those kids in the school. You know, he doesn't have to. Theoretically, he can take the fifth. But again, his credibility is going to be highly, highly suspect by the jury. And if the defense, the parents are calling him as their star witness, whew, I think that's a real danger.
We are at the jury selection phase of Jennifer's trial, and in that selection, Charlie tells me it's up to the lawyers to play off emotions one way or the other.
The procedure is the same. They'll pick about, you know, 50 people or so. They certainly need 12 jurors and then X amount of alternates for this probably trial that'll last maybe 2 to 3 weeks. Not exactly sure, but that's a fairly lengthy trial, and depending on how fast it moves. But the real trick, though, is you pick the jury, and that's what's going on right now. This trial really is about emotion and whether the prosecutor can tell the jury how emotional it is for people, students, were killed. And the defense has to undo the emotion because these are parents being charged, not the shooter. The shooter's already pled guilty, was given a life in prison sentence. But try to get the emotion away. That's the dynamic here between the prosecutor and the defense.
And certainly the emotions are high. Who would expect anything less? In this next clip, you'll hear Charlie, but you'll also hear from Ben Johnson. Ben is a lawyer who represents the families of the victims in a class action lawsuit against Oxford schools.
Can you imagine being the parent of a child who was murdered?
Charlie, you and I both have children. That's not, I can't imagine that. No,
I can't either. And Ben's got kids too. And Ben's, listen, maybe lawyers or radio hosts or whatever, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That's why this case touches everybody, including Ben Johnson.
What's been the biggest frustration for you?
Watching my clients go through what has to be the worst possible thing that any adult parent could ever suffer.
But I think there's more so in this case because of the tragedy. And it's not just the four. It's not just the other people who are shot. It's the people who saw it. It's the people that have to go through those halls every single day. They feel it. I've been to Oxford a number of times over this last year just covering stories. And I'll tell you, I feel a little bit in my stomach when I see that high school. I say it's eerie, but it's eerie. It just doesn't seem right. It's not a fun high school where you're cheering your team.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For James Crumbly, he'll be tried separately in March, so we'll repeat all of this then. For Jennifer, her jury was sat today, 10 women and 7 men. That includes the 5 alternates. But how were they chosen?
Just because the jurors have heard about the Oxford High School shooting does not mean that they'll be off the case. They have to convince a judge that they are prejudiced, that they have already formed an opinion. And the judge is going to tell them, don't read anything. Don't listen to the radio. Don't read anything about this case. Only judge the case from the witnesses and the testimony that is admissible in the case. Now, as a practical matter, that's very difficult. And a lot of people have formed an opinion. And if they truly have formed an opinion, they'll be off the jury. So we're going to get a jury that maybe will be a little familiar with the Oxford High School shooting case, but can keep an open mind. That may help the defense a little bit because those jurors have already said in open court they can keep an open mind. So again, very difficult case, a lot of subtleties, which we will talk about, I'm sure, for the next 2 to 3 weeks, because I think it is going to take that long to try this case.
This whole thing got me thinking, is it a crime to be a bad parent? Here is Jeff Schwartz, a former prosecutor, defense attorney, and judge. These days, he is a professor at Cooley Law School. And he is not so sure.
I have said from the beginning, we do not prosecute people for being bad parents in the context of how they raise their children other than them beating their children. We don't hold parents responsible for the mischievous damage that they may do to someone's home as a prank, even though it be criminal. We don't hold them responsible for acts that they commit when they drive a car. Yet for some reason or another, in this instance, we're trying to hold parents responsible for failing to do something that they weren't required to do. I understand that this is a message sender and this is an attempt by a prosecutor to look tough on guns, but we don't reach out and make public policy by charging someone with a crime and asking for something to be created to make that crime exist.
So right there, you heard Jeff say that it is not a crime to be a bad parent, at least not in this context. But for the families of Tate Mear, Hannah St. Juliana, Justin Schilling, and Madison Baldwin, they could not disagree more passionately. But for right now, none of that matters. It's up to the 12 in the jury box. Today's thanks goes out to Buck Mear, Van Johnson, Jeff Schwartz, and of course, Charlie Langton. Check out WWJNewsRadio.com for the top local news stories on demand 24/7. Do you want that Daily J delivered right to you? All you have to do is text WWJ to 20357 and you'll get it instantly. Message and data rates may apply. I'm Zach Clark, and this is The Daily J. Thanks for listening.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.